Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Well, guys, customer service. Need I say more? It has always been hot, but I think it's hotter than ever now because it seems like over the past few years there's been this new awakening about the importance of customer service and also the ability that small business owners have to really maximize good customer service, not only to serve their customers, but to help create some groundswell and some buzz around their brand. And today we're going to be talking about how you can do that with someone who is an expert in this field. Her name is Jean Bliss, and her book is called I Love You More Than My Dog, Five Decisions That Drive Extreme Customer Loyalty in Good Times and Bad. Let me tell you a little bit about Jean. She began her career at Land's End as a customer service pioneer and went on to serve as the chief customer executive at Coldwell Banker, Allstate, Microsoft, and Mazda. She is now the president of her own consulting firm, Customer Bliss, and she has clients such as AAA, Johnson & Johnson, and Costco. She lectures around the world, and she is a highly sought-after speaker, and we are so excited to have her on Indie Business Podcast today. Welcome, Jean.
Hi, Donna Maria. So good to talk to you all this morning.
Well, you know, tell us what you've seen. I mean, you've been in customer service for a long time, but let's pare that down for very, very small business owners who may have never worked in customer service. What is there a reawakening about the importance of customer service these days? What are you seeing out there in the market?
Well, so here's a wonderful and interesting thing. We just are hopefully emerging out of a bad economic downturn, and what we know is the companies that are connected to their customers and understand that their customers not just want a service experience from them, but want an experience, are realizing that they've got a series of touch points and opportunities where they can create a memory and create an indelible mark in their customers' lives. And those companies that think about their business that way are pulling out of the recession faster and growing even during the economic downturn. And especially with small business owners, we're seeing some of the most innovative practices from small business owners. And that's why this book, we call it the Dog Book, is sprinkled with great practices from not only the big giants you'd expect, but from some amazing stories from small business owners as well, who may not have a lot of budget, but certainly have a lot of ingenuity and passion.
Well, yes, and we see that so much today, of course, with websites like Facebook and other places, but, you know, it really does transcend all of the social media and all of the new technologies, right, Jeannie? The point of delivering customer service is, as you just mentioned, engaging your customers and making them feel special, right?
Well, you bet. And there's a term that's been really hanging on now that people are finally understanding, which is deliver an experience. Don't relegate. It's not about the customer service department. It's about from the minute your customer walks in the door or goes on your website for the first time, what does your follow-up communication look like? Would you want to read your packing slips? Is there any personality in the follow-up letters? Do you hire people with personality or caring or passion so that you're thinking across the whole experience and kind of architecting an experience in a deliberate way? And that's where people have awakened to, that it's not executing basic tasks, but rather building an experience and then organizing your operation around the delivery of that experience, not waiting for something goes wrong and hopefully have a good customer service rep to save the ills of the rest of the operation. So there's been a shift where people realize it's not just about the customer service department, but you need to be deliberate in crafting a complete end-to-end experience. And I think that's a big part of the awakening, the aha moment that, oh my gosh, we can be in charge of this and we can start from the beginning creating an operating plan to deliver something that's different than what everybody else does.
Jean, do you think that very small businesses, and I'm going to use the term micro business here because in our economy and in our nation, small
yep.
can be quite large. So let's talk about micro businesses here. Do you think that these very, very tiny companies led by one, two, three people have a really neat advantage that they can leverage when it comes to doing what you're describing?
Well, I think so. Well, here's the thing. I myself am a micro company. We, you know, when we're running these businesses, we know our customers very personally. We know their lives. And so, you know, you can think about what is your process for reaching out to customers look like? How do you communicate with them in a very relevant and personal way? And I think that we have an advantage because we can really think about those touch points and personalize those touch points almost on a one-by-one basis, if it makes sense.
Yes, yes, and I love that. And, of course, as you described, it's a series of steps that we put together to create what you just said was a, quote, end-to-end experience.
That's right, because what we accidentally do when we build a business, let's think about a hotel company. It could be a very small boutique hotel, let's say a bed and breakfast, to stay in the language of small business. What we think about is, okay, they walk in the door, we have to have a clean room, we check them out, we give them some breakfast. But what about instead if before they checked in, you sent them a personalized map for their journey for getting there? You welcomed them, you asked them what their favorite beverage was, and you welcomed them with their favorite beverage. Along the way, there were other touches. And so what you've done is moved your business and the experience from doing efficiently the things that are normal, checking in, have a clean room, to those things plus something else they couldn't get anywhere else. And that becomes the moneymaker. By creating those memories, what you do is you give your customers something to talk about. And we know, you mentioned it earlier, companies are growing not based on our marketing materials or our collateral or our promises or our ads, and this is great for small businesses. They are growing because customers talk to each other and complete strangers on social media.
And
that's the opportunity.
Yes, and I love the way you describe that. It's growing because customers talk to each other. And isn't it interesting that as you do engage with your customers, you can start a sentence and you find that the ones that are with you most often, the ones that sort of become what others have called sort of evangelists, they can almost finish those sentences for you.
Well, it is true. There's a great report you guys might want to take a look at. It's called the Keller Faye Talk Track Report. And what it does is it kind of keeps track of how much people are making their buying decisions on products and services based on collateral or talking to each other. And right now it's at 78% of most customers' buying decisions are based on having heard the story about the company from a friend or a relative or someone they read about on social media. So we only own about 22% of the marketing message ourselves. And that's why also when you think about those touch points, those we call them moments of truth, reliability is just as important too. So let's go back to that hotel. If you check in and you have a great experience the first time, but the second time you check in and the person at the front desk is rude or your room's not ready, you've just ruined your story. Because a customer, you know, I'm only going to recommend a hotel to my grandmother if I know my grandma's always going to have a great experience. And so reliability is the most important thing, and once you get that, that's when you can add on those extra touches. So make sure you know your make or break moments of truth. Get those down flat. Make sure those are humming, and then you can add on those wonderful touches.
Good point. I'm so glad you mentioned that because it can sometimes look overwhelming. Oh, my goodness, I have to do this whole end-to-end experience, but you're just describing that it starts with the core and you move out from there. So thank you for that really important reminder. You just mentioned there's a study. Can you repeat that again so I can make sure I get it for our listeners?
You bet. It's called Keller Faye, and they do something called the Talk Track Report. And it's kind of wonderful. It just tells you, there's more detail than this top line, but I always use just the top line. It tells you how much people are making decisions based on social media and talking to complete strangers versus just being swayed by companies' marketing materials. And right now it's about 78% is based on social media and talking and recommendations. You know, look at everything that's gone out there, TripAdvisor, Yelp, opinions. We use those to make our buying decisions before we do anything else these days.
Thank you for that. And for those who haven't heard of that before, it's Keller Faye, K-E-L-L-E-R, F as in Frank, A-Y, and we'll make sure we include a link in our blog when we blog the show. Now, Jeannie, your book talks about this concept of I love you more than my dog, which I think is so Great, because pets are, you know, really important to us, and a lot of small business owners have and enjoy their pets and enjoy sharing their pets with their customers. Tell us how you came up with that title for this book.
Well, I have to be honest with you. My publishers, my amazing publishers over at Portfolio, had the naming rights to the book. I was coming up with boring old titles like Decide and Decision Fright, you know, icky things. And the thing that they do, they were the previous publishers of Seth Godin's books, and, you know, they just are brilliant at breaking through. And there are so many books on customer service and customer experience, and they came up with that title. And it's an interesting thing because the reason, the title of the book is a reminder that people are really bound by emotion to the things they love. So, for example, what binds dog lovers to their pets is the constant devotion they receive from them, you know, like a warm welcome, the caring nature, and selfless actions their pet gives them. And these are also things we value in people, especially when we come across them in business. And so when you interact with a company that's comprised of people making decisions that are congruent in their business lives to decisions they'd make in their personal lives, that's when you create a beloved company, because your employees want to stay in an organization where they can do the right thing and make the right decision, and your customers want to associate with people who are like them.
Right, and I love that, and it's so goes so well with the picture of you that I find at your website and on your Twitter page. What a nice way of creating an end-to-end customer experience for the people that are buying your book and hanging on to your every word about customer service. You talk about these five decisions that drive extreme customer loyalty. I wonder if we could do like a really quick snapshot of each one of those. Can we do that?
You bet. So the book is about decision-making, if I could just give a little bit of background. And the reason is at the end of the day, when we read case studies, everybody gets excited about what this company did or that company did. But it's not the action. It's the decision that enabled the action to occur that's different in these companies. The intent, what they want to accomplish, and the motivation, why they want to move a decision in one direction or another, is what sets these companies apart. So the five decisions are that the beloved companies decide to believe. They believe their customers, and they believe their employees, and they practice this first by suspending cynicism. Most businesses build policies and procedures to manage the minority, not believe the majority. They decide with clarity of purpose. These companies anguish over their higher purpose in serving and supporting customers' lives. They're not just there to, for example, run a hotel. They're there to create a retreat or to deliver an escape. And by knowing that higher purpose, they can operationalize to that. And as they grow, as you small businesses grow, that clarity of purpose is one of the most important things to make sure that what made you grow continues and keeps you growing. They decide to be real. These companies, you don't feel like you're intersecting with a big company and a little customer. There's a humanity about these organizations. There's a spirit about the employee. They create an environment where their employees are able to bring the best version of themselves to work every day. They decide to be there. That's that big reliability thing I talked about earlier. By creating moments of contact that are reliable in serving in customers and fusing them with differentiating points of contact that improve their customers' life and their memory, they really deserve the right to grow. They earn the right to grow. And then the fifth decision is one of the most important, and it's they decide to say sorry. This is not just about sending out hollow apology letters, but rather about repairing the emotional connection when we make a mistake. Customers know that things happen. You know, our companies are built based on human beings, and a human, emotional, honest, and fast response and acknowledgement that you've made a mistake and you're going to fix it actually can grow your business better than if you did not make a mistake at all.
Wow. So those are it's an opportunity for you to show how much you care.
You bet. And I actually put that as the last decision in the book, because if you aren't doing the other four decisions well, you can't really do a great apology. You can't repair the emotional connection in a genuine and honest way.
Right. And I love that you say that, because it's almost like doing the other things well gives you almost an opportunity to make a mistake so that you can make up for it in a big way.
Perfect. Yes, yes. Donna Maria, you are right on the nose there, because the companies that are beloved have this kind of grace around them, and the customers say, hey, you know what, they're real too. And when the mistake is made, the companies come out and they're as genuine and honest as when the rest of the interactions, and so they're like, okay, we get it. Thanks for letting us know. We'll move on.
Yeah, yeah. Good points. I love that. It's such a nice way to provide this kind of high-level overview. And your book, of course, really dives down into the details, which is so fantastic, you know, taking these high-level overview points to a whole nother level that we can actually apply to our businesses. And one of the stories and examples you have in your book is Lush Cosmetics. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the things you've observed about their company and what they do to create this customer loyalty that's so important?
Well, you bet. So Lush Cosmetics was created initially around this fizzing bath bomb. For any of you who have gone into Lush or walked by a Lush store, that's like walking by a candy store. You can't really stand walking by without going in because the smells pull you in, and it's a very tactile place. Well, what Lush knows they have to do is keep you wanting to come in. And so what the beloved companies do, and this is in the chapter of clarity of purpose, is they actually decide to retire 100 products a year so that their customers will come in and want to find what's new. Now, sometimes this is controversial because they retire products customers love, and then they debate it with their customers online. They have over 1 million people bantering back and forth with them. But their clarity of purpose is around, we will always deliver the most fresh cosmetics. And so fresh means constantly changing, constantly improving, not only the products but the experience and the whole environment. And so that continues to pull them back. And what's interesting is each of these case studies, this isn't around, you know, high-level things. These are very operational things they do with an impact. And a new Lush store can break even in as little as 3 months, which is pretty amazing in the world of retail.
Now, it's interesting that you talk about this. You are saying that in this particular instance, while, I mean, Bath & Body is just, you know, people always do want things new, but we do not like it when you make our favorite shade of lipstick and then you take it away from us. So this is a good example of what you're describing, almost like there's this grace around them. As long as you're doing these other things and you pay attention to us and you love us, then we'll try your new lipstick and get over it.
Well, and here's the other thing that they do is they let you know ahead of time what's going to be killed. They actually call it a mafia meeting. It's kind of crazy. Their annual killing the product thing.
Oh, my
goodness.
They
look at things that aren't performing well. They're not going to – they don't always – you know, it's not like they're trying to kill people's favorite things. The perennial favorites are there. But there may be things that they kill – those are their words, not mine – that a few people really love. But they let people know ahead of time when things are – that things are about to depart.
Okay, I'm glad you said that, because you're just describing that there is this sort of core nucleus that you can rely on, and everything else around it is new and fun and exciting and in a state of transition that's stable.
That's right. And it's only, you know, they have hundreds and hundreds of products. It's not like the whole store goes away every year.
Right. This is such a good example, and of course, you know, so many of our listeners are in the bath, body, and health and beauty arenas, and so it's so great to see that you can have a strategy that's that simple, to have a core group of products that you know are generally the same, but to have around them this aura of excitement that's always changing and always evolving.
That's right. And, you know, it's wonderful because they involve their employees in it, and they read their customer boards. I mean, they are listening. They have that cup held up to the wall pretty hard and their ear pressed to the wall pretty hard. So they're not making random decisions. It's not like a lot of companies that say, we know what we need to build because we know what we need to build. These are informed decisions based on sales, which are customers voting with their feet, and their customers' own feedback and words. I mean, if anybody goes up on the Lush Cosmetics boards, they have a whole thing, if you go on their website, where you can talk back and forth. Mark and the executives from Lush are on that site all the time, bantering back and forth with customers. So,
wow,
you know, they're very real. I put their example in the clarity of purpose, but they, you know, they believe in their customers' words. They have clarity of purpose. They're very real and honest. They're reliable, and they, when they make a mistake, they say sorry. So I had to make choices about which chapter I kind of put people in, and that was a really compelling story. So they're in a clarity of purpose story. But, you know, making those other five decisions fuels their engine. What's really fun is that the book is coming out in paperback in the fall, which is really cool. But what I did was went back and did all the research, because the book came out in late 2009, and so my research was 2007 and 8 case studies, and I think every single one of the companies in the book grew through the worst economic downturn.
Wow, and you attribute that to some of the things that you've mentioned, and to basically them paying attention to their customers and responding to them.
Well, yeah, and it's great because these five decisions, the hypothesis that they make these decisions works, especially during the economic downturn, which is, you know, terrific, especially because I said that was what it was.
Yes, pretty cool. Well, I mean, how great! I mean, you've obviously been involved in this niche area for a long time, so it's wonderful to be able to have you be able to take some of the concepts that you have shared with very large companies and help us really distill them down, because we don't have, you know, 5 or 10 executives at our company who can go on the forum and be there 24/7. We are owned, you know, maybe a solo entrepreneur, maybe one or two people helping out. Can you help us a little bit with some of the important things that we can do, that we can prioritize from a practical perspective to duplicate what you just described on a very micro scale?
So you mean specific practices that they could do? Absolutely. Yeah. There's a wonderful case study in the book around a small company called Nurse Next Door. And when they make a mistake, they send out something they call a humble pie. They've actually contracted with a company called Acme Humble Pie. They're in Canada, but anybody can find a baker to make great humble pies. And they spent $1,500 on pies and saved $150,000 in business.
Wow.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, that's such a simple thing. And you know, it's creative, it's unique. It doesn't have to be humble pie. If you're, you know, we've got, like I said, a lot of bath and body companies. Why not have a humble bar of soap, right? The humble.
Something human. Just do something human. When I was at Land's End, we tested this. We couldn't make it happen because I'll tell you why in a second. When we made a mistake, we actually, you know, Land's End is in Wisconsin. And so we wanted to say, hey, we have egg on our face. And so I contracted with all these egg farmers, and we wanted to put eggshells. Excuse me. Sorry, I snort when I laugh sometimes. We wanted to put eggshells in the envelopes and say, we're so sorry, we have eggs on our face, but we couldn't do it without crushing the eggs. So we put a pink pearl eraser in, and we sent out pink pearl erasers. Remember those pink pearl erasers when you were young? We just said, we made this mistake, and we'd love to erase it away out of your memory, and here's something for your next purchase at Land's End or something like that. And people love the little touches that you A, admit that you've made a mistake, but B, that there's, you know, you've got whimsy about it. Here's another good one.
That is so great. And how, you know, thinking about the bath and body products, the soap can help you clean up your reputation.
Well, yeah, you know, just do it in a humble way. There's another great that I love from another small company. It's a company in Texas called Amy's Ice Creams. And Amy's Ice Creams is kind of like a carnival ride. You go in and the teenagers are throwing ice cream back and forth to each other and juggling with it, and it's like a show. So the ice cream's great, but you go in for the floor show as well. So they wanted to figure out, you know, how do we hire people who will have this whimsy? And you can't look at a teenager and legally say, are you a little bit nuts? So what they do is, instead of an application, and this actually happened by mistake because they ran out of applications one day and handed a white paper bag to an applicant to write her information on it, and the applicant brought the white paper bag, turned into a hot air balloon basket with a helium balloon over it and artifacts of her life inside of this little basket she had created out of the white paper bag. So now the interview at Amy's Ice Creams is you get a white paper bag and you have to turn it back in within a week showing who you are creatively.
Oh, my goodness.
And that, so if you put on Amy's
fun.
Ice, what?
Yes, and if you can do that for your job application, you can probably do it for the customers, too, and have that kind of fun, experiential attitude.
Well, yeah, and, you know, you want to – The thing that's important, you know, if I was going to tell something to the small business folks out there, is they make hiring their most important decision. They think about it as a marriage. And bringing people into the company, and remember that thing we talked about earlier around making, you know, creating the story of your company. You want your employees to be part of the story of your company. you want people to talk about these people, and so you better hire people you want out there in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Because that front line and behind the counter and people making legal decisions or packaging or whatever, you know, that becomes the story of your company.
Right, right. What great overview and what wonderful tips that you're providing. We're talking with Jean Bliss. She is the author of I Love You More Than My Dog. And come on, guys, don't we want our customers to love us more than their dogs? And even if we can't get that level of love, anything close to it, it's probably pretty good. People love their dogs.
This book has been so amazing in that way. I have to admit, when my publisher gave me this title, I was like baffled. But they're brilliant. They're so brilliant. It's a brilliant title, and people love it.
Well, and the time is right, too. I mean, pets are, you know, just absolutely exploding in popularity more than ever, I've read. And this dog on the cover is so adorable. We're talking about five decisions that drive extreme customer loyalty in good times and bad. And you can do this, guys, no matter what the size of your company. You can take the principles in this book and whittle them down to what you can do as a person that's a one, two, or three man or woman operation. Jean, we're almost out of time, but I want you to tell us where we can go to get your book, learn more about you, see where you're going to be speaking, etc.
Sure. So I have the great fortune. I married a guy named Bliss, B-L-I-S-S. So my website is customerbliss.com. And everything is on there. I have all kinds of free things. Thinking about the small business owner, there's an audit that you can take right on the front page, and then down below it, there's something called a customer culture audit that lists all these five decisions. You can evaluate where you are. You can buy the book there. You can download the first chapter for free if you want, and there's all kinds of free videos and other things as well. And so it's all there. My Twitter is at Jean Bliss, and I think that's really a lot of where you'll find me.
Yes, and let's make sure we spell your name. It's JeanBliss. And I have to tell you that when I first saw your name, I was like, you know, that is just so serendipity. She's doing exactly what she's supposed to do with that last name.
Well, you know, I had to go all over Match.com to find him, but it worked out.
Well, good, and obviously in ways that no one could have predicted, right?
That was a joke, actually. I didn't meet him on Match.com. I met him at a coffee
wherever
shop.
It was, this certainly is a nice feed into what you do. We're talking to Jean Bliss. She is the author of I Love You More Than My Dog, Five Decisions That Drive Extreme Customer Loyalty in Good Times and Bad. I want you guys to know that the afterword for this book is written by Tony Hsieh, the CEO of Zappos, who certainly is one of the best-known people, along with Jeannie, when it comes to helping companies learn how to deliver good customer service. We are reading his book in the Indie Business Book Club right now. So,
I hope you'll add my book to your book club. That would be lovely.
Oh, yes. Well, you know what? We're going to take a look at that. And I'm just so delighted to get an opportunity to share with our listeners these great tips that you have. You know, it's not just about your products. It's about how you treat your customers. If your products are good, that's great. But if your products are good and you're not treating people right, Jeannie, you can forget it no matter how good the products are.
That is right on the money, absolutely.
So let's remember that, guys. Put as much effort and energy into making your outreach and your humanity and your connections as good as you make your products, and, you know, you'll make your life a whole lot easier. We've been talking again to Jean Bliss, author of I Love You More Than My Dog. Follow her on Twitter at Jean Bliss, that's spelled J-E-A-N-N-E. And as always, I will be here next week for another episode of Indie Business Podcast. I'll see you then. In the meantime, enjoy your life, business, and have your way.